kill a beat with no hesitation. I kill a beat with no. No hesitation, only thing I know is hard work, dedication. That boy flow sick and it beat the medication. It's kings at this table, you can't make a reservation. Who you know do it better? Hopping on a flight just so I can change the weather. White and black whips, man,
it's Monday. New week, you know what I mean? Start off to the new week and all that. So it's only right we starting y'all off with new content, man, a new show. You know, in case you didn't get the memo or, you know, you wasn't in the loop for whatever reason. This is the Shot Clock Show, man, on the Barbershop Network. You know what I'm saying? Before we get to any of that, before we get to, you know, to any of that, follow the Barbershop Network at Barbershop Net on IG and Twitter, and subscribe to the Barbershop Network on Patreon for sure. Patreon.com/Barbershop Network. If you're not familiar with this voice, I'm Mariano. You can call me Mario. I actually prefer it. You know what I'm saying? You know, we bringing something new, man. You know, Ball Don't Lie was a good era. It was a great era, a legendary era. And they're just passing the torch to me and my brother Just right now.
Yes, sir.
And you know what I mean? So Just, introduce yourself to the people real quick, man.
I mean, y'all know me for a lot of things, man. Sports and rapping is one of, it's two of the things. So, you know, I'm grateful to be part of the podcast here, Shot Clock Show, with my brother for real, Mari, man. And we make some history and bring some real, you know, transparency and, you know, real life, you know, unbiased opinions to specifically the sport of basketball, you know, but we dive into even more deeper things than that. But, you know, right now we're just excited to be here, be part of the Barbershop Network, and, you know, we ready to go and give y'all an excellent product, man. And I think that you're going to really enjoy. And you already know how Mari coming, you know, the one of the most wittiest people on earth for real. You know what I mean?
Likewise. Listen, and like I said, if y'all don't follow Just already on Instagram, on Twitter, then you might not know, but you'll know. You'll know pretty quick. You know what I'm saying? You'll get to understand what's going on. But you know, basically what it is, the idea behind the Shot Clock Show, not just because it relates to basketball, but it's something you can apply to your everyday life, because you know you got 24 seconds on that shot clock. And a lot of people like to say, oh, we all got the same 24. No, what you mean to say is that we all got 24, but our 24 is different. You know, the NBA, they run different offenses. So your 24 seconds ain't the same as mine. Yeah, we both got 24, but we're doing different things with it. So, you know, you see, we just try to draw the correlation between life and basketball and how the shit all just, you know, gel together and everything, man. But what's going on right now at the moment, what we got to talk about right now, Just, and I know this is your area of expertise, is the NBA draft, man. 2023 NBA draft is wrapped up. Obviously, you know, Wemby went number one. We all expected that. You know, you got shit scooters out there in Portland. Look at Brandon Miller. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that kind of, because you know, even though we expect Wemby to be that guy and everything, like talk about a little bit of what that means for San Antonio from your opinion. And I definitely want to have this conversation with you about like Wemby to San Antonio, especially like right now.
I mean, with Wemby, man, is he's continuing a clear cut, you know, lineage for as far as what Popovich and the Spurs have been able to do with foreign players, specifically French players. You know, so I always tell people, you know, sometimes when it comes to rookies, it's not about, you know, being, you know, obviously you have to be good, right? It's the NBA. But at the same time, opportunity is everything. You know what I mean? We've had guys who we've seen, you know, high school, college, and not be that good, but be presented the opportunity to where they fit the best.
Right.
And I think that, you know, it was a match made in heaven for Wemby to fall into San Antonio's arms, because, you know, he's gonna be you know, the face of the franchise, obviously, and everything is gonna be built around him. And I think that if it's anybody that could bring it out of him, it's Popovich.
Yeah.
Personally, like I said before, I think that, you know, they're going a little bit too far, you know, with the generational stuff and best prospects since Braun, because then you said, you know what I mean? And that's nothing, has nothing to do with Wemby and his ability.
At all.
I'm talking about the people who speak about him, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes you have to realize that it's okay. Like we spoke about before, we've seen somebody says if he has a career like
Hakeem Olajuwon, specifically.
Hakeem Olajuwon, how can NBA champions and Hall of Fame players be failures? So at the end of the day, these are unrealistic expectations they have from, but you know what I mean? So like,
Real quick. Imagine somebody imagine if you started hustling on your block, right?
Right.
And they said, yo, if he turned into like Bill Gates or somebody like like Bread Wise, that's like a disappointment to me, really. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Like, I just don't understand. I get why people say the NBA media is cooked because they only tune into it from certain places.
So that goes to my point, right? Like, you go on to two extremes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, how do you go to he's going to be the best thing smoking since sliced bread to if he has a career like Hakeem Olajuwon, the fucking dream that he failed?
Kevin Durant, bro.
Durant, AD.
AD. Like, bro, listen.
What are we talking about here?
Listen, like, and the older I get, you know, and I know the older, we got children now and stuff like that. Right. So I know our perspectives on things change. But the thing about it is like, bro, when you really look at LeBron James, it's so disrespectful to even compare a prospect to him because life was different when LeBron James was.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like Chingy and Nelly and niggas like that was out when LeBron James was the man, like the flip phone, sprint phone. You know what I'm saying? Like video games on sprint phones was a real thing back in the day when it was like, you see how that game, you see how checkers look, you see how bowling look on a sprint. And now we're talking about we can FaceTime and do all this type of other shit right now. Right. He's still LeBron James. So when you talk about being, that's why I say talk about like best and greatest, right? Like best speaks to skill set and, you know, stuff like that. But greatness speaks to sometimes shit you can't duplicate because times is different now. Right. You can't the same way you can't be Mike, you can't be LeBron no more. It's not the same.
And that also goes to your point of longevity.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that all of that ties in. You know, when you talk about a prospect being a generational talent, they have to be able to do shit like that for a very long time.
Yes.
And
consistently.
You know what I mean? Like, we're talking about a 38-year-old.
We're talking about a nigga who just broke Kareem's record for points, bro.
Like, this, we're talking about a record that we never thought would have been done. And he did it at a very, very, you know, golden age, I should say. You know what I mean? In terms of sports. You know, we're talking about a 20-year player who, not only that, we're talking about Tom. You talk about somebody who was in the finals, like, every year. So his body, the weariness, all of that shit. For him to keep doing that and at this age to be like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, it's a testament to his greatness. So when you put people in that seat and then, you know, if they fall short of that, you shit on them. Like, I should never be shitting on somebody who averages 20 points.
Ever.
You know what I'm
ever
saying?
Ever in life, bro.
And he's a kid. That's another thing. You know what I mean? He's a real life kid. Yeah. They got to be fair in that regard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I do think that he fell into the right hands with San Antonio. I do think that they're going to have a great youth movement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with the rest of that roster, with Trey Jones, you know what I mean? With the kid from Notre Dame, pardon me, I'm forgetting his name right now. You know, with Jeremy Sochan, they have a very nice team. And I think that he can definitely prosper there. It's going to be a work in progress for him, definitely.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hate to sound corny, but he definitely needs to put on weight.
I think that's going to happen naturally. Just being in America, the food is different. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
The food is way different, bro.
No, I mean, he might check out the pond, but they be canoeing that through the joint.
You know you feel me? Yeah, like, I know, 100%. So we talked about Wimby. Mm-hmm. Brandon Miller, obviously, he went to the Hornets. I thought that his pre-draft stuff was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty good. I think a lot of people kind of maybe took it the wrong way when they was like, oh, you're getting that mic. And it's like, that's the kind of – being around Michael Jordan, that's good for you. Like, you're supposed to have that kind of shit. Like, you have to kind of speak like that. You know, what I'm talking about was he was like, yeah, I saw him airball the free throw. That's just him being old. Like, I think that more than anything probably made Mike be like, yeah, shit.
I like this kid. Yeah.
Come through. It's the same thing like Matt Barnes did the shit with Kobe with the ball fake. And Kobe was like, yo, if you crazy enough to fuck with me, you crazy enough to play with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it is what it is. So, you know, I like that. So let's talk about Brandon Miller and how he fits in Charlotte moving forward.
Oh, like a glove. How you see. Like a glove.
Yeah.
Like a glove, man. I mean, like, you know, Charlotte is definitely looking to take a turning point. And I think with B. Miller, it's something that they haven't had yet. And, you know, with Miles Bridges coming back, which a lot of people aren't mentioning again, you know, the young boy Mitchell from Duke, he seems to be finding his way as a center.
Yeah.
And then you add on, you know, obviously LaMelo is LaMelo.
Yeah. No, and he's legit. Before we go any further, let me say that because I think when Melo came into the league, it was kind of like, oh, here we go again. Here go another ball. You know what I'm saying? It was just kind of like it was a little. People thought it was like gimmicky a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was more charisma and personality than actual game.
Oh, no,
that kid is the truth. No, he's
the
good.
And he got better over time. And what I like is that he started to take ball more seriously as he progressed in age. Mm-hmm. You know, he stepped away from all the nonsense, and he actually went somewhere where he was able to show people, and then with him also freaking growing to be 6'7", you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that definitely helped his case.
You know, 1,000%. A lot of niggas, they woke up 6'7" tomorrow, would be a whole different dude.
Like, I don't understand how you work. Like, homie that got drafted yesterday, Wimmy teammate, he grew a foot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bilal. So it's like, shit like that is rare that happens. And with LaMelo, I think he felt victim to a lot of the shit, you know what I mean, with, you know, his pops and, you know, all the stuff they had going
100%, 100%.
On. Definitely had their opinions on, you know, the big homie, the big baller. So it's like, you know, people had their opinions on LaMelo, and it was unfair. And the kid is really good. So with him, I think when he got somebody like Brandon Miller, who's, you know, 6'8", like he said it as his GOAT, and I see why. He's a Paul George clone.
Yeah, like, 100%.
And they really haven't had that in Charlotte, because obviously LaMelo could pass the ball, but it's a difference to if I give you the ball, what you gonna do with it? You know what I mean?
And they haven't had somebody like that since like Gerald Wallace, bro.
And that's crazy because
Because that was a minute ago.
Yo, and that was
Gerald Wallace was like that. Like, let's not play like it's a joke. Like, Gerald Wallace was
facts. And he had mad cigarettes in his pocket on the bench.
Yeah, he was all right. Nah, dead ass though. Like, he definitely seemed like the type of player that, like, you say something to him and he start patting his pocket like he got a lighter on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, knowing he don't got pocket.
He get tight like, damn, man, got one? Damn, left my shit.
Yeah, feel me? Yeah, time out. Yo, coach, time out real quick. I got to go hit it. You know what I mean? Newport short in the box and all that.
Nah, for real. But B. Miller, you know, he definitely has Paul George potential.
Yeah.
You know, I see a little bit of Tatum in him just off the height alone. But,
for
you know,
sure.
All of them
are like
6'10 wing players that just with ease, you know. So it's going to be dope. I think that, it fits like a glove, because you need that go-to player when shit is not going right. Mm-hmm. Even with Terry there. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a great game all the time, but Miller has a great game every time.
Yeah.
So B. Miller now, where it's just that easier to where it's like he can score when he wants. We need a go-to bucket, give it to him. So I think he's a clever Charlotte for
100%.
Sure.
100%. But before we move on to the third pick, Scoot Henderson, who is probably my favorite player in the draft, I just want to say this about Brandon Miller. I do think that he's one of the guys, like you said, not to sound corny, because I hate using like the stereotypical, you know what I'm saying? Oh, he's an NBA-ready guy. He's really a guy that's like, just go get him. He's going to be a bucket. Like, regardless of whether you start him, bring him off the bench, however you see it, it's certain things about his footwork that I like, that I've seen, that I've watched over the course of, like, you know, him being in college, where it's certain places he can get to. And if he can continue to work on his game and get to those same spaces in the NBA, because all it really comes down to in the NBA, everybody's fast as you or faster.
Absolutely.
But everybody knows the game. So it's like, once I see him around January, February, I'm going to know what type of dude he is, because, like, usually when that rookie wall comes, because it's that amount of games. It's within that amount of time. It's that, you know, physicality of it all and that. But I do think he's going to be all right. I like him a lot. Scoot Henderson, let me say this about Scoot.
Mm-hmm.
Scoot is one of my favorite prospects in the NBA draft in a very, very long time. Like, he's somebody who, when I saw him, I was looking at Wimby like, yeah, he's good. But this Scoot dude?
Different.
This is a guy who, if he's on my team, I'm going to be irrationally confident about our chances to win any game. Do you feel the same way about him?
Absolutely. It's crazy because I just was talking to my brother about this, and I was like, you know, you just can't teach that shit that he has, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's a dog. You know what I mean? Like, they put the X-ray joint on him, the Rottweiler come out on the chest.
Yeah, like Rottweiler.
He's tough, and, you know, you can't teach toughness. And as long as you got somebody that's tough and not scared of who they're going against,
You can't teach them to give a fuck, bro. You can't.
You know what I mean? If he had a pocket full of fucks, he wouldn't give one. So, you know, just keeping it a stack. So when
I ain't got it, OG.
Whether Dame there or not,
I had your hands, I cut mine off, OG.
You know what I mean? I'm saying, like, so with Dame there or not, he's going to be something special, man, because, you know, the nigga he's built like a fucking linebacker for one. And it's crazy, yo. Like,
no, that's real, bro.
Like, one of the niggas off the Express or something, B.
No, that's real. Nigga built like Carl Banks, man. Like, you know what's going on with him?
So, like, and he's a kid still, you know what I mean? And he just has those tools of playing hard. You know, he's tall, he's big, he kind of reminds me of Swiper, actually. Just bigger.
You know who he remind me of, really? on some real shit, and maybe this is why he's one of my favorite players, because I gave a nigga 75 on a video game with him before, is Michael Finley, bro.
That's an interesting one. What made you go with that one?
Because the body, he's a solid dude. Like, he's a very solid dude. But when he play, he doesn't look like a stiff player. Like, you know, a lot of guys, when you say you compare him to, like, football players, right, especially linebackers, those are, like, stocky dudes who are kind of, I'm good within this range. But if you get me outside of this range, I don't know. Yeah, but Michael Finley had a game where it's like, no, this is just a strong man who can play basketball like a very slender man. I feel like Scoot, and I'm not comparing their games.
I know what you mean.
But I'm just comparing just like the way they move on the court and how they look. He's very Michael Finley-ish where you look at him and you like, yeah, he might not be able to, you know what I'm saying?
That's tough.
I just feel like maybe that's why I kind of like him a little bit more than I like any other prospect, because I fuck with Finley heavy.
But you also know what you see, you know,
100%. Like, yeah, 100%.
He's one of those people, like, you know, not to be cliche, what you see is what you really get.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he's an ultimate competitor, fearless.
Yeah,
and like he's gonna walk onto a court immediately and he's going to look at the other guy across the court, no matter who it is, if it's an all-star guard, and feel like he's better than them.
He and most nights, I'm not gonna lie, if he can dribble, he's gonna be right. I'm not gonna say too much about that, but you know, we'll talk about that at a later date. Rockets and the Pistons back to back draft the Thompson boys. You know what I'm saying? Double A, you heard? Shout out to them.
Your boys, man. The hometown had a good draft, man.
Listen, a lot of people have a misconception about me, right? They think that like I don't like the Pistons because I like, no, like I still support the city. The city, I'm born and raised in the city.
Absolutely.
I love the city forever.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And my pops, long live my pops. You know, he's a Pistons fan. I know after this draft, he probably would have been calling me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
You know about them boys that we, we'd have been chopping it up. So I already know how they're giving it up. Rockets and the Pistons are obviously two, you know, franchises that are on the brink of like rebuilding and stuff like that. Just tell me a little bit about what you see from their draft picks this year that will give you, if you were a Rockets and the Pistons fan, or if you're talking to them, if you're trying to talk them off the ledge and being like, hey, look, this is a good draft for your team, or these are good picks for your team. Tell me your perspective on these picks.
So for me, I feel like with in terms of Houston, let's start with them.
Yeah.
Specifically. So I always tell people in general, history repeats itself, right? So when you look at, you know, specifically Ime Udoka now being the coach of Houston, you know what I'm saying? Holds aside. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's an excellent coach. And I also think that he has a template for how he builds, you know what I mean, in terms of what he needs, what he wants. And I think he was able to start that with Boston. And when you go into Houston picks and we talk about the first Thompson twin, which is I'm in, and you talk about Cam Whitmore, essentially you're basically looking at two Jaylen Browns. And I think since he knows what to do and what he had to do with Jaylen Brown, he's going to apply that same thing, but then also combine that wing depth that he had of making them a tandem with Tatum, with Brown and every other wings, you know, even with Marcus, because Cam Whitmore can be a Marcus Smart just on a higher level in terms of his offensive ability. And then with the Thompson twin, you're getting Jaylen Brown. He's explosive, you know what I mean, quick off the step, you know what I mean, because he's a playmaker in terms of being able to create for others and then also create for himself, you know what I mean. He's 6'7", but he actually can run the one, so he gives you that little bit of interchangeable, you know what I mean, in terms of the lineup. And then, you know, putting next to Jabari and Alpha Shingun, Houston has and, you know, with the cap space they have, Houston is actually on to something. You know what I mean? If Ime could get them to buy in and, you know, vets there to discipline that locker room, Houston is on to something.
That shit going
to
be Dunk City, bro. Like, them kids is – they got the most athletic roster on the – like, on some real shit on paper – they might have the most athletic. I feel like everybody on their team could do a dunk from like NBA Live 2005 on the first shot.
It's definitely on. They fake on Boom Shakalaka Town, bro.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. They got like I said, Shingun. You know, he's special. I think that he's, you know, people are starting to realize it now. I think the more people see Houston play, they realize he's going to be one of the next best foreign centers. You know, Jabari, again, we're talking about 18 and 19-year-olds. Give him some time, but he got better as the season progressed, as you can see. And, you know, he might be working his way to be an elite defender. And he's not scared to guard the best player, which is crazy at his age, and being 6'10". And then, like I said, you bring in the Thompson twin, and Cam Whitmore, and you still got Jalen, you still got KPJ. You know, Houston is on to something. And if they could get some vets there and use that cap space for some great players, I think Ime is going to build himself a nice young, you know, playing team.
I like it. I'm not mad at that at all. I do want to point out this because I'm biased. At number 11, we skipped down a little bit. Yeah. Magic draft Jet Howard, you know what I'm saying? From my dog, the Michigan legend himself, Juwan Howard. Shout to him. But I what I really want to know is, before we even get to like the Warriors getting I think is the steal of the draft. I don't know how you feel about this. I think it's the steal of the draft. Is there any other prospects between now, between where we are right now and that Warriors pick that intrigue you a lot that you kind of want to, you know, maybe even talk some fans off the, you know, matter of fact, fuck it. Do you have a list or just something you can go to real quick of fan bases who may have looked at their draft picks that night and was like, maybe I'm not familiar with this, or maybe I don't like this, or how should I feel about this? If they're looking for some type of direction and they're like, damn, what fan bases are you talking to?
You talk about from now, you said from now until the Warriors, right?
So from right now until we get to that Warriors pick, which I think is just
so. I actually had somebody contact me, who's a Mavericks fan.
Okay,
and they wanted to know about Derek Lively.
Okay,
Derek Lively, if given the situation, especially with him having Luka on his team, and given what else happens and who else they get in Dallas. You're looking at Tyson Chandler again, you know, and Derek Lively, I think he has a lot to prove because, you know, he did end his high school year as the number one player in the country. You know, when he got to Duke, he was a longer stack class. So, you know, he didn't have the opportunity to necessarily shine and showcase abilities that people was able to see. So everybody just seen him as kind of like a rim runner, which he can be, but his workouts was insane. His pre-draft workouts were insane. He showed that he could knock down a jumper. And again, we're talking about a 19-year-old. So the ability is there. And with Luka there and being able to throw those lobs to him, he's an elite shot blocker. He's a great defender. I think that Mavs fan got a stolen gem in Derek Lively, honestly. I think that Mavs fan could be very comfortable with having him.
I like that a lot because, you know, Mavs fans are a lot more vocal these days. I think, you know, obviously having Luka, they're one of those teams that are kind of, I would say, like, expecting playoff success soon, especially with, you know, given their recent run in the playoffs. It's like, yeah, you know, they should.
Right.
What I feel like was my favorite part of the draft was the Warriors getting TJD. Right. Oh, my God. Listen to me, man.
Talk about it.
I like TJD a lot, bro. Just his feel for the game, his post-work, just him attacking the rim, him being able to just get a basket, his attitude, I feel like is one of those things that obviously he's going to be a rookie coming into the season, but I feel like Golden State can use that kind of shit because he's going to be a guy that's going to be battling for those minutes in practice. So when you see him starting some games – I don't want people to be surprised because that kid is the truth. The fact that he went that late and the fact that he went to Golden State. All of these teams in the league are trying to improve and you passed up on him.
I agree, bro. You know what's crazy? It goes back to what I said earlier about opportunity, right? So with Trace, with TJD, and for everybody that needs to know, we're talking about Trace Jackson.
Davis. Yes, Smith. Yes.
Trace Jackson ended up in the best opportunity he possibly can end up in. Reason I say that is because with Golden State playing positionless ball, he doesn't, and Steve Kerr not being afraid to play positionless ball, he doesn't have to worry about being something that he's not. And I think that, and this is no shade at homie or none of that, but him being on Golden State takes him away from becoming John Collins.
No, that makes sense.
Because that makes sense. He's John Collins all the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You kind of don't know where to play him, but Trayce Jackson-Davis, man, like
he's one of them.
He has an innate ability for shot blocking. He can post up. He's very aggressive. Athletic as hell. Like I said, he does remind me of John Collins,
bro.
But I think that he could do a little bit more. And then I think with him,
he got a little bit more of like he got less of a filter than like John Collins. John Collins would still play a little more of a suited up game, and Trayce would just be like, "Yo, what the fuck is you doing? He can't guard. All right, bet. Let me show you this. You know what I'm saying?
No, that's a fact, and that's what I like about him the most. You know, because he does play like a I can kill anybody I want.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Which and I think it's gonna fit the mold of Golden State because. Like I said, when they go positionless, that's the best thing you could do for him.
100%.
I mean, you don't put him in a bottle. And so, you know, with Golden State fans, they actually had, you know, even the other homie, Brandon, you know, that was the other pick in the first round. I'm just giving people ideas or people that don't watch college basketball, but, you know, they might lose him now because of knowing with Dante DiVincenzo. You know, they pretty much
again,
Brandon Podzimski. So, you know, he's pretty much a Dante DiVincenzo type of guy, you know, glue guy that can be a playmaker, but he's very tall, you know, can run the one, play the two. And, you know, he's at 6'5", Santa Clara, he's a great dude. Still young as well. He's only a sophomore. But he can do those things Dante DiVincenzo did for Golden State as well. And it's going to be interesting, too, like going back to the Trayce Jackson-Davis thing, having, you know, Cliff there now.
Yeah. And.
You know what I mean?
You know what? I'm gonna save my comment for later because we're gonna get into that later. I'm gonna just save it. but let's make a quick pivot, right? Because I think we hit on all the things that we were like excited about in the first round, and there's no need to like drag it out anymore. Let's get to. I saw a list earlier, right? I do kind of want to get your thoughts on this. It's a USA Today list, and it's the basically like the top 10 undrafted free agents. One name leaps off the page to me because of the name alone, right?
Tequavion
Smith. I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm 1000% that recruiter, that scout, that coach, that GM that's gonna see that name on my list and say, "How much does he want? How much does he want?" Because if your name is Tequavion, to me. I feel like that's like a that should be celebrated like a battle cry.
Yo.
Like you hear a battle cry, you like, "I'm ready to go to fucking war. I'm ready to go to war with Tequavion. Are you out your fucking mind? Give me a Tequavion any day of the week, every day of the week."
Listen, man.
Period. Am I off on that?
Nah, you're not wilding at all, man. Tequavion, man. Like, and they got called a nigga Quavo, man, something. he definitely wanted the Migos, man.
Do something, man. Turk. That's young Turk. Out,
again, you know, like Philly, like now we talk about, you know, the Sixers got off on two-way players. Like real.
Oh, good. Yeah. Let's talk. Yeah.
Now we can talk about that. Tequavion, you know, somebody for people that don't know, you know, he was slotted as a lottery pick last year. He chose to go back to school. For whatever reason, he dropped and went undrafted, but you know, you're looking at a Bones Highland type player. You know, instant offense.
I like that. Ooh, I like that.
You know what I mean? Instant offense off the bench. Tall, lanky, 6'4".
Yeah. Got the attitude. He got it all. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I like that comparison. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, Philadelphia, y'all got one. Y'all got a steal for free. You know what I mean?
Basically.
For free.
Yeah.
The other player they got, and I love them a lot too, Ricky Council from Arkansas, man.
Ricky Council, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? He was number two on the list. Of the 10, he was number two.
He was supposed to get picked. I don't like, you know, I don't even want to dive deep into my bag, but, you know, front offices kill me sometimes, bro, because I truly don't know how you pass up on certain players, man. And
They're relying too much on analytics versus the eye test, bro. I'm telling you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The eye test is gone, and we got to start bringing that shit back. You know what I mean? Because I know, we can play the numbers game. We can play the statistical game. I get it. I understand it. Do I agree with it? No, because it takes away from what you're actually watching if you watch and analyze the game of basketball and the player's ability. You know what I mean?
I'm going to tell you what I always say about analytics. Because people got this notion that, like, I hate analytics. I actually like it because analytics show me what I missed when I was watching the game.
Yeah.
And that's not meant to be a slight. I'm just saying, like, if I'm watching a game and I'm watching a guy, you know, let's say I watch a guy miss a shot.
Yeah.
The analytics are only going to tell me that he missed a shot. But if I'm watching a guy play and he got a good angle on the dude and he went in there and did the right move and the ball just kind of rimmed out, I'm not holding that against him. He still did everything he was supposed to do. Like, it's that's the reason why I don't like analytics being an end-all, be-all. But I do like it because I can appreciate what the numbers say. Like, that's just a fun part of the game for me. I just don't like it as an all-in-all test of, like, oh, this guy's better than him because he hit one more shot. Like, no.
You know me, Maury. My thing is two things could be true at one time.
Absolutely.
You get what I'm saying? So with that being said, like, analytics can exist in the world that we live in while also appreciating
in moderation.
And in moderation, definitely specifically, because people drag it out. And I think, and again, not to dive deep into it, I think a lot of people use analytics as a way to actually show that they don't know anything about basketball. secondly, just keeping it a stack. When it comes to the eye test, bro, it's like, again, so say for instance, like, a lot of people are box score watchers, which is why analytics is something, right? Because people will look at a box score, ball, he was a minus 38.
Yeah, I know.
The eye test will tell if you're watching a game. Like, let's say a guy went 4-for-15 from the field. It's about the quality of shots and how he took them.
Yeah.
Like, if he was open 10 out of those 15 times and just missed, he just had a bad game. He wasn't playing as a bad player, though.
Right.
So eye test is important. So, you know, analytics, cool, whatever, but we got to get back to the eye test, bro.
Yeah.
Got to get back to the eye test. But I want to add on to this before – it's staying on the same topic when we talk about undrafted players. I want to put this out there. This ain't no bias Harlem shit.
But let me tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, this is how you know some bias Harlem shit is on the way.
Marquise fucking well.
Yeah, no, talk about it. Yeah, talk about that. Talk about
Toronto?
It.
Toronto?
Talk about it.
Toronto.
They got off, right?
Toronto.
Yeah, he right there, too.
He home.
He right there. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He basically on vacation, if we being real.
Greyhound.
He right. Yeah, no, 100%. Listen, on a quick load, you know what I'm saying? He.
I love the choice. I love the choice of going with Toronto because they have a very, 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 you know, lengthy history of turning two-way players into something.
Yeah, they got a good system over there.
You talk about small guards. They got Fred VanVleet. And if Van Vliet chooses to stay or not, I just think that template is there for Marquise. I think he's leaving too.
Come to Chicago, my nigga. Fuck it.
Yeah, definitely need somebody.
Fuck it.
But I do think that Marquise picked the perfect spot to be in. Because again, that template is there.
Yeah.
I mean, and Masai is a fucking Messiah, basically, when it comes to front office.
word.
Insane. He knows talent. You know, and I do think, you know, Marquise will have a real legit shot there.
Yeah.
He's special. Like, and again, like, you could call me biased. I ain't even gonna lie to you. You could call me biased, but I seen him play since ninth grade, man.
Like, yeah.
You know, with all my young Jelly Fam dudes, and all of them are special in their own ways, but it's something about him, like that it factor to where he has something special. And I think that in Toronto, he's going to do great things. So I think that Toronto got an absolute steal in terms of undrafted players. He's up there with my top players for sure. You know, I do feel he should have been drafted. You know, I do think a lot of other small guards were given chances in the past, like Tyler Ulis. You know what I mean? Players of that nature, who's somebody that he's close with. But Marquise is going to – he's going to make it work.
Yeah, I like that too. Because Toronto is one of those teams in the NBA that the reason why their fan base is so, like, kind of loud and obnoxious and even annoying at times, let's be real, is because they employ hoopers. Like, so they can kind of – they kind of got the little bit of leash to kind of talk that kind of talk and just be whatever because they have dudes that can just hoop. That's why when you hear these, like, random names outside of the all-star guards and the superstar guards – most of the time is from Toronto because, like, they just employ guys that can hoop. I think the culture is different. Yeah, that's just what it is. I think Toronto overall, just the Raptors organization, I think maybe that culture is just different. The same way we talk about like Miami with Heat culture is different. I think Raptors culture might be a real thing, whether you hate it or love it. It is what it is. It just kind of is what it is. Yeah,
every team has a culture, but I definitely think Raptors. That's why I said they have a template. Yeah. That's why they went with Marquise.
100%.
Like, not me. Fred VanVleet went undrafted and became an NBA champion. He's small, so they're like, you know, we can probably just send out a Keish. You never know.
Yeah. You know, they you know what they thought to themselves? Maybe we should just get guys who know how to play basketball and just let them.
How about
play
that?
I mean, maybe let's go with that. It looks like you know, maybe it could work. Maybe
it's a Hooper. You know what I mean, OG is a Hooper. They just got ballers. You know what I mean, and Scotty is Scotty.
100%. Yeah.
But staying on the topic of the undrafted players, because I actually have a question for you, because you actually have a very good perspective on a lot of things in general, mm-hmm. not just basketball. So when we talk about undrafted players, the player I want to talk about is Oscar Tshiebwe.
Okay.
From Kentucky.
Okay.
So the question I have for you is actually more a general question, but when it comes to players like Oscar Tshiebwe, right, why do you think that somebody like him goes undrafted and he's winning – National Player of the Year awards, and he's literally dominating, you know, the big man game of college. Why do you think that players like him go undrafted?
I think honestly because it's still a stigma around players who look like him. Let's just be real and call it what it is. Like players that look like him, play like him. They're still like, oh, yeah, like Wemby. But then people bring up Bol Bol and people like, yeah, but Wemby is a little So I still think a lot of that is like perspective. I think that we'll probably look back 10, 20 years from now and this shit will be laughable because players like him will be the one. You know what I'm saying? Like that's more in step. But it just all it takes is one. Like you look at like Mo Bambas and, you know, shit like that, whereas people that's supposed to be this type of powerhouse, this type of force. And then maybe they don't live up to the expectation, but maybe they weren't given the opportunity, the same opportunity as some of the guys. You know what I'm saying? So for me, I look at it like that. Like maybe that's what it is. Or maybe they look at what's around them and they just try to discredit it because of whatever narrative they're trying to push at the time. You know, if they're trying to push big men, then maybe, you know, that's more along the lines of, you know, him fitting into the narrative. But now it's just a little different. You know how you see those memes around where it's like, if his last name is, you know, Okic or this Vich.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's different. You know what I'm saying? Versus if, you know, if you somebody that look like us or look a little different. Like, I think sometimes that plays a part in it. Because, again, if you got a guy like Bol Bol on your team, like, you clearly can see that Bol Bol can hoop. Like, he can play the game of basketball. This is not like a hot take that I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? But I just don't think they're being given the same opportunity. Like, let's just keep it a stack. You know what I mean? So maybe that's kind of what it is.
I think even, you know, just being honest with you, I think that they're still stuck on this, you know, having a big man who's able to shoot threes.
Yeah. No, 100%.
And that's cool, but it's like I've never seen a championship team not have that guy that just does everything dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look at Ben Wallace.
For somebody like look for somebody like Oscar Tshiebwe is like somebody who's averaging like 17 rebounds a game. And it's like you telling me you can't use a rebounder? I'm not saying, you know, when he gets to the league, make plays for him and throw him in the post and say, get me 20 points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's where a lot of these front offices are starting to go wrong.
Yeah.
You know, just matter of fact, let's get deep. This is the shit that we're gonna get into on this podcast. Yeah. Because front offices are bugging the fuck out. Let's just be very honest now.
100%.
You know what I mean? And I think that people are getting away. Like, this goes to your point about Masai being a great GM, right? Because he's getting ballers. People that can do things.
Yeah.
And somebody like basketball. Oscar Tshiebwe, I'm not saying he's the best player in the draft or anything of that nature, but he has something that he does very well. So what's the difference between him being a specialist? Right, we have fucking. There's nothing that Duncan Robinson can do but shoot.
Right.
You understand? Right. What I'm saying? Like, so what is the difference? And I understand that shooting is at a fucking premium right now. But
but that's my point. Look at how he looks versus how.
Absolutely.
You know, that's my point. Like I said, and some people might disagree. Some people be like, "Oh, Mari bugging it ain't about that." No, but it is though because he plays basketball. The way that basketball is a kid's game. Before you get too deep on basketball and before you get too deep on the skill it take to do the over the left shoulder with the right hand, with the knee, right. It's a kid's game. He's perfected a kid's game.
I agree.
I've seen players that done way less than him that look a little different than him get praised a lot more than him. And that's the only thing I'm bringing to this is because I like him as a prospect. I really do. Yeah. Any team that gets him is getting a guy that can contribute to winning basketball games, which is the point.
And that's my
that's like, really it. Is like, that simple?
Like if it's a, if I got a player that's gonna give me the dive on the floors, the dirty rebound,
bring him in.
Bring him in because I know that when I put him in the game, he's there for one thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, lo and behold, you know, Indiana got him.
Yep. Oh,
you know what I mean? And I think that even with him being a two-way contract, he can grow with that team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Halliburton to get him the looks he needs to look whenever he needs to. But right now, I just need you to beat people up, get a rebound, and give it to the point guard, and you give me 15 rebounds, bro. Like,
yeah. And we good money. Speaking of good money, what a better way to cap this inaugural show off with a couple trades, man. Got a couple trades we want to get to. We want to say the best for last, but you know, first I want to start with Kristaps Porzingis being traded to the Celtics, and then it almost turned into a CP3 situation where it was like, oh, niggas was hyped for 2 hours, and then it didn't happen because it fell apart, but then it got back together.
Yeah.
And now Kristaps Porzingis is officially in Boston. He's a Celtic now. So I wanna know what you think about this.
It's perfect for all teams involved. You know, a lot of times it's usually when you make trades, it's hard to make a fair trade. When it comes to certain players that's involved,
Somebody's going to lose.
Going to lose something.
You gotta lose a battle if you want to win a war. You have to.
You know what I mean? So, with KP, it's sorely needed in Boston.
Yeah.
You know, with Horford getting older, you know, he's still very valuable. I don't want to get that fucked up, but he's getting older. He can't defend as much as he used to, but he's playing his ass off again. He is. Tom Lord is still unhealthy. And they don't have no stretch bigs. So you're bringing in a player who's pretty much kind of along their timeline too, because Kristaps is still, you know, relatively young. And he's fucking 7'5", too, right? And he's a shot blocker and he can stretch the floor. And that's a problem when you have to worry about somebody like that and you have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And, you know, a lot of people, and I get it, with Marcus Smart, he's the heart and soul of the team. You know, but it was a necessary evil. And because, you know, I like Marcus Smart, but, you know, he's a gift and a curse type of player. You know what I mean? You live by him, you die by him. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times that hindered Boston more than people wants to admit. So I think that they made it a necessity trade for what they needed. And then while also getting 2 first-round picks. In the process is kind of a come up, you know what I mean? They won that trade in my opinion. And then with Washington, Tyus Jones has been waiting to break out and finally get his chance. And with him and Poole together, I think that they're gonna grow together to be something special eventually in time. And then Marcus Smart, you know, pretty much gives you, you know, the version of Dylan Brooks in Memphis that takes showers. And then just even going a little bit more deeper into that, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not gonna come to the press out with the jean vest. You know
he might come, yeah, I don't know though, man. Marcus Smart look like he got a wild wardrobe, though.
He got a grizzly blue hair, but
He got a grizzly blue hair. I think he probably gonna rock the grizzly cutting his hair at some point, you know what I mean? Because he was dying his hair green and all that, so. Absolutely. I think he's definitely going to be on that type time.
But it's like, sure. I said, with him going there, you know, it's a repeat of history. You know, you look at even going deeper into that, Oklahoma State alumni, you know, Memphis getting back to the grit and grind history. You know what I mean? It's Tony Allen all over.
Yeah, I was about to say, Tony Allen. Yeah, that's an easy, 100%. Grit and grind player, bro. That's just with it. No haircut, grit and grind, lunch pail. And then that lunch pail is a fucking – it's not even lunch. This is an iPod with, like, State Property music on it. It's not even, food.
I mean, and shit got the crack screen and all that.
Yeah, it's a 211 in there. You know what I'm saying? It's not even like a – He on a liquid diet, but it's 211. You know what I mean? Still reserve joint and all that. But I like it. I like it for Boston only because it's like I feel like he's gonna be what they thought Gordon Hayward would have been for them as far as like just an easy tool that's like right there with that little, you know, 13 to 15 footer kind of like this is a 2-point we can count on kind of maybe every time down the court or like 7 times out of 10. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, when he's on the court. So I like that for them a lot. I do think Kristaps Porzingis is just a situation where he gives a fuck away from like being more productive and more.
No, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? More of a contributor to like winning basketball. You get what I'm saying?
I think Boston is going to be the absolute, you know, ideal situation for him so far in his career.
And it's crazy for a nigga that started off with like the Knicks. So, like,
you know, but he went through a lot with the Knicks. You know what I mean?
He did.
I've seen it personally myself. You know what I mean?
He popped off too quick. I think he became a star too quick for the New York media and the fans to like really give him a fair shot because like you know you New York native, like you know what's going on. And when you pop off too quick as a New York star, they expect a lot more from you.
Oh, yeah, it has to continue.
Yeah, it has to go in. So it's like when he just kind of leveled out, I don't think his floor was high enough for New York fans to tolerate. They New York fans, I think, are in love with the ceiling. I don't think they really necessarily care about the floor overall.
I agree.
Some of them do, but I don't think they care about the floor as much as they care about, like, why aren't you reaching the ceiling right now? You know what I'm saying? But we got another trade. Mm-hmm. And this was, I thought was very funny and poetic to me personally, was Golden State Warriors trading, you know, Jordan Poole. Somebody else was in that deal. This is our show. We can do what we want. We can say what we want. Jordan Poole was in that deal. I don't know what else was in that deal. Mm-hmm. And he ended up in D.C. Mm-hmm. D.C., man. D.C. is ready for us. And Chris Paul ended up in Golden State. And the first thing I said when I texted the chat was, Cliff got to bend the knee. Because we look at all time and we talking about point guards and point guards and who's the greats and who's this and who's the – and I'm very vocal about – regardless how you feel about Chris Paul personally as a person, when it comes to that basketball court, he's the reincarnation of Isaiah Thomas with like a better overall like feel for the game, I think. You know what I'm saying? Like than Zeke. I'm putting him over Zeke. I'm not like running away from that. And it's no disrespect to Zeke. I just think that Chris Paul did what he was supposed to do. You're supposed to follow the blueprints of the greats and make it better. And that's just what he did. Like, if you're a basketball fan, you should appreciate that. But all these years, we've been looking at him. We look at Steph Curry. We look at, you know, all these other point guards. And a lot of times it's like, yeah, it's, you know, it's a battle. It's a test. Mm-hmm. For you to get traded to this man's team after he's just coming off of being a defending champ, basically, you got to bend the knee, bro. This is Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is back. You have to bend the knee. Like, there's no – and this ain't no – like shot or whatever. This is just a fact. You gotta bend the knee when you go in that locker room. Yeah. You don't walk into that. Like when you walk into any other locker room in the league, you're Chris Paul, the point guard. Everybody bow down. I'm the leader. This is what it is. This is what I do. When you walk into Golden State, they're gonna say, "Hey, don't sneeze that loud. Steph is here."
Sorry.
Just listen. Be real.
And then you remember Media Man, Golden Lords. That nigga with the Golden Lords. He definitely got to bend the knee. He got to bend the knee to the Golden Lords.
Go get you a turtleneck right now.
You got to get the black turtleneck
right now.
Because them, you know what I mean? It's like you had a great way to say it. It's very poetic, man. Like, like God could be a funny nigga sometime, bro. Because it's like they went the battle so many times and Steph has bested him. Mm-hmm. And it's like now it's like, and especially because, you know, Chris worked. He helped work on that trade, so he really did, in a sense, bend the knee. Like, nigga, get me over here.
Yeah, 100%.
I guess I'll go over there. It's very interesting to see what they're gonna do. You know, what I mean, if they're gonna be that bold and say, "Fuck it, you starting," and Steph is just gonna go ridiculously off ball, or if they're gonna be like, you know, just come off the bench, but you're gonna close this game and Steph off ball, and he's gonna run the offense. And it's even more so, how does he catch up with that offense? You know what I mean? Because he is a, you know what I mean, pause. You know, he likes to palm. Mm-hmm. So he'll palm, shut out the ball, pause. Like 30 seconds. You know what I mean? He's going to use the shot clock. So it's interesting to see how Kerr is going to implement him, especially at this age. You know, he's 38 years old. You know what I mean? How is he going to get along with that?
You know what? You know what I think, though, Jess? And I'm going to be real with you. Mm-hmm. I think that Chris Paul can adjust to any NBA offense because he knows the golden rule. I just have to come down and get a bucket. And nobody in the league is better at drawing a foul than Chris Paul.
Nah, I agree.
There's nobody in the league. The only person that's second to him is probably Trae Young. Dame, I would say Chris Paul. Yeah, Chris Paul, Trae. But Dame, I feel like, does it a little. Maybe he's tricking me because I just like Dame. And I like that, you know, I like how he rap and shit like that too. So maybe he's tricking me. Maybe I'm biased. But I just feel like Chris Paul and Trae Young do it. You remember when Pac was like, yeah, you made a G a day, but you made it in a sleazy way. I feel like they making their G a day in a sleazy way. And Dame,
absolutely,
not.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? So, but I get it. It's still a G. When you go right. pay for your food, well, no, they ain't going to ask you where you got the money from. They're going to ask you, do you got it?
Like, yeah, out here selling K2 for this money. I don't want
to. Yeah. So I'm with it. I get it. I understand. So I'm just saying. That I think that Chris Paul will bring a level of maybe, like, I don't even want to say intensity because I think that Golden State team is pretty intense, but he might bring a sense of, like, I don't even know the right word to use for him, man. But it's gonna be a little bit intense when it comes down to crunch time because he's gonna be able to draw a foul. I think he's gonna make Golden State more hateable if that's possible.
So for me, in terms of, and I could be wrong, but I think. Not necessarily the word you was looking for, but in terms of just in general, I think what he brings to Golden State is a sense of calm.
Yeah, see, and maybe that's what I was going for was the opposite of what I actually said, is because he got something in him where it's like, hey, it's cool, we got it. You know what I'm saying? Even though they're champions, he's not. There's a certain way that he plays the game that they don't, that he can be like, hey, hold on, just wait. Let's look at this right here.
And just being honest, you know what I mean? This is just being real. You watch enough basketball, especially Golden State. With them, they're not that good in close game situations. And
you being generous. Not even they're not that good. Right, they're usually horrible.
Them niggas is ass in close games.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about. That's the reason why I kind of got hung up on the word intense, because in close situations, I think they might be new. It might be like when you know, a girl get out of a relationship, and then she get with a dude that know the difference between there, and there. And she like, oh, shit.
I never experienced this before. You know that there's an I after the E?
You know what an apostrophe is? Oh, whoa. Condom, no condom. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, it might be like that.
Nah,
Chris Paul is the no condom stage for Golden State. I agree. That's what he is. He's the one where you like, you know what? I finally trust this dude enough to where we could just go condomless. So maybe crazy. Maybe that's what he is.
Nigga with Vince McMahon on Monday Night Raw, B. You feel me?
Raw is war. I do think that
like Steph, is Steph in all his greatness, he's just not meant to be, you know, especially in those close moments at the end of games with the ball in his hand.
Yeah. And I mean,
trying to make a play.
And let's be real. If I did as much in the league as Steph did, or like LeBron even.
Yeah.
What the fuck you mean I'm supposed to close the game?
Nah,
too? No, I did enough.
Help me.
No. I'm not doing what you mean. So I'm supposed to get to the event, seat everybody, host the show,
right,
perform in the show, close the show, and then clean up the popcorn under the seat? You mean one of y'all can't clean the popcorn up under the seat? Can anybody clean the popcorn up under the seat?
Absolutely.
You can? Cool. Thank you. Right. Do that then.
And that's the point I'm making. Like
you know what I'm saying?
I have to do all of that. You know what I'm saying? And you don't know what Clay you're getting. You know what I'm saying?
And I love Clay too.
And man. I love Clay to death. But I mean, don't know what he's getting. And you know, if he ain't hitting, it's a wrap because the nigga dribble like Bob Cousy. So you know what I'm saying? His ball handling is like 45 and 2K.
Nah, he's smoking Bob Cousy. Don't play with Clay like that, please. Man.
Nah,
burning Bob.
But
Bob, out of here.
I do think that at in the game situations, life is gonna be very easier, especially
getting
that CP is somebody who does like to slow down the tempo.
The ref's gonna look at him and be like, all right, Cliff, cut.
No, I mean, come on.
Okay.
But you know what's so crazy though? We're gonna get into that real quick. But two things. One, Golden State has a hard time because they're so used to playing up-tempo, so when the game slows down, they have a problem. Yeah. So with Chris Paul, he's like, listen, Steph, go ahead. You go ahead, da-da-da-da. He's going to orchestrate.
Yeah, I got you.
I think the craziest thing that you just mentioned, though, is like refs are going to be so conflicted on how to referee them niggas now because they hate Cliff but love Steph.
It's so, nothing you can do. You know what you do in that situation? You go with the one you love.
Right.
When it's somebody you love and somebody you hate, because they're not the opposite. They exist on the same energy level. Apathy is the opposite. It's not hate. So they're like, fuck. Do I hate Chris Paul more than I love Steph? No. It's not possible. You don't. Right. You don't.
To that unnecessary fouling.
Yeah. So now when we get down to the playoffs, Steph is out there. That's Steph team. Go ahead. Get that man in there.
And I'm interested to see.
Give me the first Scott Foster game. With Chris Paul as a Golden State Warrior. Give me
just
that
so we can see what the energy is.
Yeah, give me that one.
Now, I mean, but I do think that, you know what I mean? I don't think that Golden State is done. I think that is another move coming.
Yeah, yeah. This summer is going to be.
To see what they do, you know what I mean? Yeah. Especially if Chris Paul can come off the bench, you know what I mean? That's insane depth for one. But
it's crazy.
If they add some more pieces around what they already have, and if they get Dre back, you just never know. Chris Paul being like a fucking eighth option is really crazy.
It really is. In the year of our Lord 2023, man.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting in GS. You know what I mean? It's going to be interesting around the league, period. I think a lot of teams about to bust a lot of moves because, you know, this new CBA got a lot of people under pressure.
I mean, you know, the Bulls is talking about how, we got the green light and we're going to do this. And, what do you think about the fans who weren't happy with drafting? Like, stick around the free agency, see what we're going to do in the year. We'll see when it happened. You know what I'm saying? Zach? Yeah, we'll see when it happened, man. But,
what you want to do with Zach, bro?
Huh?
What you want to do with Zach?
Let me be real about Zach. Zach is one of my favorite players to watch. I've seen him play in person a bunch of times, and every single time I got my money's worth. Whether we won, lost, or draw, I got my money's worth.
Mm.
I feel like this could be a situation like Lauri Markkanen, like Wendell Carter Jr., where it's like maybe this guy is very good and can lead to, you know, wins for a team. Is it this team? No, for whatever reason. But maybe that's not his fault either. So we could probably get off of, you know, like two things can be true. That's a common theme on this show. We can probably get off of Zach and swap that out for a young player and a couple picks or an established player and maybe, you know, one pick. We can do something like that and start this rebuild because if the Reinsdorfs are really saying you have the green light, you know, AK and Mark Eversley, then cool. Do the team the way that you want to do it. Like, it's just what it is. I like Zach a lot, but if we can get something decent for him, I'm with that too. I'm not on the side of like he's untouchable. Right. Nobody on this team should be untouchable. I think if you're gonna make somebody untouchable, it should be DeMar DeRozan. Period. That's just it. I like Vucevic, but a lot of his numbers are Andre Drummond in Detroit-ish to me. Mm. It's like you got 15 and 13, but we lost by 15. So like, what are we actually talking about? We're talking about just your numbers in a vacuum being good. So
right.
Nobody on this team is off limits to me except DeMar right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's I love Zach. Like I said, I do. I'm not at the march parading with the biggest sign or the flag saying trade Zach. But if there's a trade out there to be had for Zach and we can get better as a team, I'm with that too. We traded Derrick Rose. You got to remember that. Like, it's just what it is. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I'm that's where I'm at with that. I do want to thank everybody for tuning in, you know what I mean, to this inaugural episode of the Shot Clock Show. I hope you guys, you know, are fully tapped in, fully ready to take this journey with us, man. You can see what me and my, you know, my brother just bring to the table. And just a quick backstory, when Scott hit me up, this was a no-brainer. And, you know, in my head, I was like, yo, if I'm not doing this shit with Jess, I'm probably not doing it. You know what I'm saying? And so as soon as I hit Jess up about it, he said, yo, let's do it. And I said, say less.
The intro to the pod, man. No hesitation.
No hesitation at all. You know what I'm saying? Man. And you know, again, man, shout out to y'all. Shout out to everybody. You know, like we said at the top of the show, man, you know, follow us on Instagram, on Twitter. And you know, if you want to sign up for the Patreon, You can go to patreon.com/barber's chair network. You get a lot of videos. You get a lot of shit, man. You get a lot of dope shit on there. You know what I'm saying? Spend a couple of dollars, man. Go ahead and pay that $5. You know what I'm saying? But for me, for my brother Just, for everybody at Barber's Chair Network, man, we out, man. We see y'all next episode.
Yo, love, man.